was in the antebellum South before slaves were emancipated, that a wealthy abolitionist went to a slave auction. And his desire was to use his wealth to purchase and free as many slaves as he possibly could. There was a young girl on the auction block. As the auctioneer began his spiel, price began at $25. It was a lot of money. The abolitionist raised his hand. Went to 50, raised his hand. Went to 100, and then to 200, and then to 300. And finally, the auctioneer said, "The young woman is now the property of the man in the back." So the young girl was led to this man. The whole time she's staring at the ground. He takes her by the hand and he walks away from the crowd and he turns to her and he says, "I purchased you today, but I'm setting you free." Little girl's beside herself. Young girl's beside herself. She said, "Does that mean that I can now say whatever I want to say?" He said, "Yeah, you're free to do that." She said, "Well, does that mean I can do whatever I want to do?" He said, "Yeah, you're free to do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to stop you." She said, "Does that mean that I'm free to go wherever I want to go?" He said, "Yeah, you can go wherever you want to go now." She said, "Am I free to go with you?" He said, "Yeah, you're free to go with me." She said, "I choose to go with you." In that story are the aspects of our word this week. Redemption. Redemption is not a term we use very often, probably, right? But like propitiation, like righteousness, like atonement, like justification, it's a very important word. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. We sing about redemption, but do we understand it? If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I was going to lead that this morning, but I chickened out. Ephesians chapter 1. And as you're turning there, again, what is redemption? What is redemption? Again, this is, I can't remember the number. It's about 45 or 6 or 7 in the list of words. And somehow we have more words than the year. I know we were supposed to have one, but I think we got quite a few more. We'll check on that at the end of this month, next week or so. What is redemption? Well, at one point in time in history, redemption had to do with the price paid for a prisoner of war to secure his release. That was true in Old Testament times. If someone was taken in war, if you could send an emissary, messenger, and you had enough money, that might secure the release of that person. And to experience that release would be redemption. To purchase the release would be to redeem. And if you were released, you become one of the redeemed. Later on, it came to signify the release, the payment for the release of a slave. You know, much of the time, or a lot of the time in the Old Testament and the New, when you read about slavery, it had to do with indentured servanthood. What is indentured servanthood? It's when someone sells themselves, their services to another, in order to pay off a debt. And some people would find themselves in a situation that they were so far in debt that they would never get out of it. In other words, they would be in that situation for the entirety of their lives. But occasionally someone would come along and pay the debt, and the person would then be released from their service and they'd be free to go about their business. Here's what you need to remember about redemption. Anytime you see it in the Bible, redemption or redeemed or redeeming or whatever word, it always has along with it the concept of the payment of a price. for the securing of some kind of release. Now here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Set me free from what? Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. He said, but if the Son sets you free, from what? From sin, from its slavery, from its condemnation. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You see, there is or has been a price paid that mankind might experience redemption, to be set free from his sin which condemns him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Redemption is the payment of a price to secure release. In our case, redemption is the payment provided by Jesus to release us from the slavery that sin causes. Condemnation. That's redemption. Now let's look at a familiar passage as it has to do with this concept. Ephesians chapter 1 is a great chapter. I know probably 6-8 months ago we went through Ephesians. We won't spend a lot of time talking about the book, but I want us to really focus in on verse 7. Here's what you find. Everything that's good and right that has to do with the relationship with God is in Jesus. He's the reason for it. He's the avenue to it. Without him, as he says, you can do nothing. John 15, 3-5. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we learn that every spiritual blessing or all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are where? They're in Christ. Every good thing, every right thing that has to do with knowing God is found in Jesus. Without him, it's impossible. All right? Every spiritual blessing. God choosing us is in Jesus, verses 4 and 5. If we're going to be chosen, if we're going to be one of the redeemed or the elect, it's only found in Christ. We are accepted in the beloved, verse 6. What does that mean? God now accepts us in the beloved or beloved. Who is that? That's Jesus. Where is acceptance found? Where's every spiritual blessing found? Where's the relationship with God found? In Christ, in his church, in him, in whom, in the beloved. All of those who are saved from their sins are in Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, where are you, spiritually speaking? You are in Christ. It's the term used to describe those who have a relationship with him. Another way to describe it, the in Christ ones are the redeemed, because we now have received the benefits of Jesus' redemptive work, the fact that he paid the price for us. Notice verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Let's look at that expression again, in him. If every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is in Christ, if a relationship with God is in Christ, if acceptance before God is in Christ, if redemption, the enjoyment, the reception of what Jesus has done for us is in him. Pray tell me, how do I get into him? That's important, isn't it? When you think about redemption, think about salvation. They go hand in hand. They describe slightly different nuances of the idea, but they're kissing cousins. They're like a glove and a hand, okay? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How do I contact the blood of Jesus? I'm evidently outside of him. I'm in my sin. I need some good news. What saves me? The gospel. What is the gospel? The truth of what Jesus has done. He died for my sins, was buried and raised. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And the Bible says, if I believe that, if I trust in what Jesus has done, and I come to Him in obedient faith, identifying with the gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection, that is, believing in Him, dying to sin through being buried with Him in baptism, I'm raised up to walk in newness of life. And Paul said it this way, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism is the final step in coming into a right relationship with God based on our faith and trust regarding Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, that He paid the price that I should have paid but couldn't. In Him we have redemption. The most important idea this morning for all of us is, am I in Him? And if I'm not, how do I get there? It's through the gospel, God's power to save. It's through what Jesus has done. We are a gospel-centered church. It's all about the good news. Redemption is where, verse 7? Easy test question. It's in Him. It's all because of what Jesus has done that we can be set free to then in turn follow Him because we love Him. We'll say more about that in a minute. In Him we have redemption. Let's focus on that word. We've already talked about what it meant. We looked at some of the historical ideas. We said redemption always involves the payment of a price to secure a release. Let's think about what Jesus said regarding Himself. Keep your spot marked there at at Ephesians 1 and turn to Mark 10. In Him we have redemption. How does Jesus, what was Jesus' redemptive work? Again, we're going back to the same principle again and again. But notice what Jesus said as it pertained to His coming into the world. And some people think Mark 10:45 is the key verse in Mark, the whole book. Mark 10:45. Notice what Jesus said, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Here's a related word, and to give His life a ransom. A ransom for many. You know, oftentimes when you hear the word ransom in our modern day vernacular, probably your mind goes to some old crime show that you watched and some little kid was walking down the street and he had his backpack on and his lunchbox. Somebody reached out and grabbed him, pulled him into a car, drove away, and then the parents received a phone call and the person on the other line said, you give us $5 million and we'll make sure your kid is set free. If that were my kids, they'd never be released if $5 million was the ransom. I'd say, you'll bring them back soon enough, I promise you. Ransom. What is it? The payment of a price. Jesus said, I have come not to be served, but to serve. And then He speaks of giving Himself, His life, as a ransom for many. Jesus paid our ransom. To whom were we enslaved? Who kidnapped us? Not the devil. Sin. We were in the grip of sin, with no means of getting ourselves out of that dilemma. We couldn't do enough good works after we sinned to somehow take away what we'd already done. What was the price? What wage did we deserve? Death. But Jesus said, I have come to be a ransom. I'll die. I'll pay the price, the penalty. I'll provide the means. He's the only one that can provide it because He's the only perfect one that's ever lived. He is the perfect substitutionary sacrifice. Had He come and sinned, then He would have been just like the rest of us and His sacrifice would have been meaningless and ineffective. But He was perfect. He's the only man who died that didn't deserve to. The wages of sin is death. We die because we deserve it. He never sinned, but He died. So when we see the word redemption there, remember Jesus' work involved the giving of His life as the ransom payment. we should still be in sin's clutches. We couldn't escape. There's no way we could pay the debt. We're condemned. Jesus said, I'll pay it. Notice what it cost, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. The value of an item purchased is based on what it costs. How valuable is our freedom from sin? How valuable did God say a relationship for us with Him is? What did it cost? In Him, we have redemption through His blood. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, sin condemns. We were enslaved to it. But Jesus was willing to pay the price, life for life. The wages of sin is death. He shed His blood, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish or spot. 1 Peter 1:17 and 18. What does that say about how desperately God wants us to have a relationship with Him? What did it cost? What was the ransom price? Through His blood. Him who loved us and washed us through His blood, Revelation 1:5. In Revelation 5:9, the Lamb of God who's worthy to be praised and honored to open the scrolls of human history, the Bible says it's through His blood that we have been redeemed to God. If you ever wonder how much God loved you, think about the idea of redemption. What did it cost? Through His blood. What does that mean? What did we say a minute ago about redemption? It's kissing cousins with salvation. What does it mean to be redeemed? Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Had it not been for what Jesus did on the cross, had He not taken our place and paid the price, we would be in our sin. We know what that means. But through Him, because of what He did, because He was willing to shed His blood, now the Bible says forgiveness of sins is a reality for those who will come to Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The truth is, you can come to Him. You can experience the forgiveness that's associated with His paying the price, the ransom, redemption. You can be one of the redeemed. Christ will set you free to therefore be free to want to do what God would have you to do. That's the freedom we have in Christ. To truly follow God, knowing that there's no gulf between us because of sin any longer. And those who come to Christ in obedient faith, repent of their sins, and are baptized for the forgiveness of them. And then the redemption that Jesus provides, all of the benefits are there. But notice this forgiveness of sins, this redemption, it's according to the riches of God's grace. Again, it's a gift. We talked about Romans 3, 21-26 a couple of weeks in a row, where we learned that we have been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That God would send His Son to die on the cross, none of us deserved it. Not a one of us. And now He extends it to us as a gift. He says, receive it. It's yours. It's for you. I've done it because I love you. But you have to take it. You have to make the choice to act in harmony with God's will to receive it, as we've been talking about. Some people might say, well, yeah, Jesus died and He's redeemed folks, but you don't know what I've done. You don't realize how great my sins are. But notice it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I know we've talked about this before. How rich is God? How much grace does He have? He's got plenty. His grace superabounds, 1 Timothy 1:14. Paul said, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, Romans 5:20. If you're willing to turn to God with a penitent heart, with a desire to do His will, you can experience the redemption that's provided in Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done. Most people who make the excuse, you don't know what I've done, they make it because they really don't want to do anything about it. That's been my experience. We've talked about what redemption is. We've talked a little bit about a familiar passage. Now, what about the response to redemption? We've already talked about that. The alien sinner, what does he need to do? He wants to experience the forgiveness found in Jesus because of what Jesus has done in redeeming us, he needs to come to Christ in obedient faith. We're going to close with this passage. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. While you're turning to 1 Corinthians 6, I'll tell you a story. This little boy who, this has been about 100 years ago or so, and he made a boat that would float, little one. And he was so excited, he spent a lot of time with it. He crafted it, and he put a sail on it, and he went down to the river with it, and he tied a string on it. He was going to let that boat float as far as it could with the string, and then he was going to pull it back in. He was going to do it all over again. He was just excited as he could be. He spent a lot of time on that boat. That boat was his masterpiece. So he puts it in the water. Boat starts floating along. He's just enjoying watching his good work, and then the string broke. String broke. So he's running down the bank of the river, looking at the boat, just hoping that it'll somehow find its way to shore. But before he knows it, it drifts farther and farther till it's out of sight. The boat that he made is lost. A couple days go by. He's walking through town. He goes by the local store, and there in the window is a boat. Looks just like his. He says, I can't believe it. He runs in, and the storekeeper's behind the counter, and he says, Mister, I think that boat's mine. And he says, okay. Gives it to him, looks at it. He says, that's mine. I made this boat. I crafted this sail. This boat is mine. And the storekeeper said, well, I hate to inform you, but somebody brought this boat in this morning, and I purchased it. It's mine now. If you want it, you're going to have to pay a dollar for it. If you want it back, you're going to have to pay a buck. This kid ran home. He scraped together all the money he had, and sure enough, he had about a dollar. He ran back down to the store. He put the money on the counter, and the boat was handed over to him. He walked out the door, and he looked at the boat. He said, I made you. I lost you. But now I've bought you back. That's redemption. God made us, created us in His image, but sin marred us. We were lost. How can God get us back? Through a purchase, through the redemption provided in Jesus, who ransomed Himself, who shed His blood. What does 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 remind us? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? Whom you have from God. Now notice this expression. He says, and you are not what? Your own. For you were bought at a price. Now remember earlier, the little girl who was purchased by the man and set free, he said, you can go wherever you want to go, but what did she say? I want to go with you. That was really the only logical thing to do. She really didn't have any way to make her own means. And here was someone who evidently cared enough about her to do what he did to provide such a gift. And so she willingly wanted to go and to serve him. If God has purchased us, what should we willingly want to do if He's redeemed us? Therefore, He says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That's the response that you and I ought to show forth because of what God has done for us. Last illustration. There's a little girl. She lived with her grandmother, and her bedroom was upstairs. Her grandmother's was downstairs. House caught on fire. Lindy, can you imagine that? House caught on fire. This was bad. As the flames grew and as the smoke thickened, the grandmother desperately tried to get upstairs, but she perished in the smoke and flames. The little girl was hanging out the window, shouting, screaming for somebody to save her, help her. Suddenly a man shimmied up a drain pipe. Flames everywhere. Little girl wrapped her arms around his neck and he climbed down and she was safe on the ground. About a week later, there was a hearing as to who would take care of this little girl. Excuse me. Three or four people came forward. First was a local farmer. He came forward. He said to the little girl, he said, "Little girl, my family and I would be delighted to take care of you. I have a farm. You'll have plenty to eat the rest of your life." The little girl just sort of stared at the ground. Next person came up, one of the teachers in town. She looked at the little girl. She said, "Little girl, I'd love for you to come and live with me and my family. I'll provide you the best education. I'll make sure that you're treated well if you want to come and live with me." The little girl just kind of stared at the ground. Wealthiest man in town came over and looked at the little girl. He said, "My family and I would be delighted for you to come and live with us. I have more money than you can possibly imagine. You'll have everything you could possibly ever want or need." She kind of looked in the ground, looked at the ground. Suddenly a man stood up, walked over to the little girl, showed her his hands. They were bandaged. Why were they bandaged? Because they were burned as he climbed the drain pipe. She went home with him. Why? Because of what he had done. She knew that he loved her. The only logical thing to do was go home with him. Jesus' hands are wounded. His feet is side. He's redeemed us. What's the logical